You just whatever, man. Whatever, bro. I love those shades, Kirk.
Do you? You like them? Just got them.
Well, his future's so bright, he's got to wear sunglasses inside.
On the Amazon.
Thank you, stimulus check.
Boom.
I almost just lost my coffee. Almost lost it all over this table.
What, you don't? Oh, that's right. You haven't got yours yet, Sean.
Yep. Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Sean. I am your host.
This is Kirk. I'm your co-host.
He kind of forgot what he was there for a second.
He did.
I'm Jeremy, the guest they just can't get rid of.
The permanent guest.
So what's going on, guys? How's everything going?
I can't take Kirk serious right now.
I know.
Well, I couldn't take
it? You like it?
I couldn't take Kirk seriously before, so.
I hate both of you.
That's not very nice.
It's not nice
but
at all.
But it was said.
I mean, it was.
I mean, why is Kirk always mean?
Really?
I'm never mean.
Never?
Okay.
Starting today, I'm not going to be mean no more.
I mean, you literally already started being mean.
No one asked you anything, Kirk or Jeremy.
See? Mean twice.
You just called him Kirk.
That's called me Kirk.
Bad. I know, yeah. It's horrible.
Jeremy's like, I quit.
Bye.
That's how you get rid
of
him.
Sorry, gosh, I can't help it.
You can't quit. When you're not really involved.
True. Oh, so that means that Sean and I get all the beef jerky and the pickles that were sent by the fan.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
No, I think that's 100% accurate.
That. Yeah. Nah.
You can just forget that it exists.
You guys can forget it exists.
Like, you forgot to order the boom arm.
I did. Just like you forgot to tell me to get beef jerky.
Or you did order it.
Valid.
Boom.
It was delicious. Thank you for bringing it.
You're welcome.
After that workout today, I needed the protein, and I was craving some beef jerky.
That was a crazy workout. I don't know how everyone else is doing in this corona quarantine
COVID,
nonsense.
COVID-19. You need to be political. Yeah.
All the above names. Yes. I don't think I have to be politically correct when I'm naming a disease.
The Rona. Just call it the Rona.
The Rona is not going to come after me.
The China virus.
Now you're gone too far.
Where did it come from?
Okay.
Did it come from China?
Okay, DT, calm down.
I'm just saying.
I do agree. We've always called it by where it comes from. So.
The Spanish flu. Where'd that come from?
Yep.
England.
SARS.
Yeah.
Or no, MERS. What is it? Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome.
Yeah. Let's just call it where it came from. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not scared.
Obviously.
We'll call it the bat virus.
Well, if I continue to work out the way I did this morning, I'm not getting sick. Hello.
I mean, you're sick in the head.
Yeah, that was a hellacious workout this morning.
It was good. It was a good workout. We'll post that workout we did on our Facebook and our Instagram. You guys can take a look and see.
It'll be in the show notes.
And don't worry about it. We also could not hit that time cap.
Nope.
So when
you
Sean,
had
when,
one job, Jeremy,
you did it anyway.
No. So that was a wink. I clicked with my wink.
That's a wink.
I did that on purpose for the wink. That way you could hear my wink.
A verbal wink.
Yeah. If you're just listening to the podcast,
the listener doesn't like that.
You don't know if they don't like a verbal
I do
wink.
Because I listen and I'm like, ooh, I don't like
that. Yeah, but we don't like you.
Hold on. Question.
Gosh.
Question. It was two clicks. How does that represent a wink? Two clicks.
Well, because if it was just a regular click, you'd be like, no, maybe that's just a tick.
Oh, okay.
You give it the double click, that way you know, oh, that was a wink.
It depends. I'm trying so hard. Gotcha.
So, Sean, you texted out that workout this morning.
Yeah, so where did you get that workout?
I'm sorry. There he goes. There, Jeremy.
I know.
Sorry.
But no, I was going to comment on Jeremy's response to said text, which was, gross, let's do it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And mine was, baby running away. I did not want to do it.
It's that gif where the baby runs into the room. It's like, whoa.
I'm out, yep. So it was brutal.
Call Matt. Let's get Matt on the phone.
Who's Matt?
Matt is a good friend of mine. I'm going to allow him to kind of explain who he is a little bit, but a good friend of mine. I've known him for a few years. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's in the Air Force. He's a SEER specialist. SEER stands for Survival, Evade, Resist, Escape. These guys, they teach anyone, Department of Defense, on how to survive in a hostile situation. He's phenomenal in the mountains. I mean, he can survive in any situation. So, but he's extremely fit. He's committed to fitness. He's committed to just living a certain lifestyle. So every now and then I'll go on his social media pages and grab some of his workouts. And
I believe we've got Matt on the line now.
You know where else I can survive, Sean, is in your garage gym.
Oh, my God. Matt, there he is. I like it. What's up, bro? I didn't know you were already there. Kirk did a phenomenal job of letting me know.
I did. I was like, hey,
no, he
wrap
did.
It up.
He did right at the last second, and then I piped in and made fun of all three of you guys. So welcome.
Well, good, because I couldn't hear any of it.
We couldn't hear you. You were muted.
Yeah. So if you want to make fun of us, go ahead and do that now.
So tell everybody where you're from, what you do. I kind of said a little bit. You're a SEER specialist in the Air Force. You want to explain a little bit about what a SEER specialist does, and we'll kind of get into the fitness realm.
All right. Yeah. Cool. So I'm originally from North Carolina. Crazy story how I kind of like lived my first 18 years of life. Kind of was everywhere, but I grew up in North Carolina, and then I ended up going to high school in Minnesota, and that's where I joined the Air Force from. So, long story short, yeah, I'm a SEER guy. We train high risk of isolation personnel, survival, if you will. Kind of getting away from the whole eating bugs and living out in the woods for number amount of days, and more talking about personnel recovery and kind of how to get that person back rather than having them survive for 2 or 3 weeks. But in a nutshell, love what I do, get to teach people, basically a instructor. So it's fun, man. I like it. I like to help other people, and it's been great. So found myself recently moving out to West Virginia, which has also been amazing. We've been out here for about 2 weeks and absolutely love it. Like being back home, but not, it's almost better than North Carolina. So that's where we are.
What do you love about West Virginia?
So far, man, I was stuck out in the desert for 10 years in my military career. So being out here, everything's green. We got green grass. I got birds chirping. I got groundhogs
seasons.
Running around. I got rabbits. I love it, man. It's just, I got mountains, different type of mountains than what I'm used to. It's good to be back on the East Coast.
Well, Matt, so Sean was telling me that you're really into fitness. When did that start? Was that like in the military before?
You know, it was before, man. And with this recent move, I was packing some of my stuff in Vegas before I came out here. And I found this box my mom had sent me, like, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. And it was a bunch of old pictures from like elementary school. And I guess I was on a track team. I was running track. And I've always played baseball, and as far as I can remember, man, I was going to the YMCA, and I was lifting weights and learning from, the older guys that I played basketball with. So it's always been in me to kind of work out, and then it kind of just recently, when I hit the military and it's SEER and stuff, that really drove home, like, how to work out properly and really push myself to the limit. So it's always been a thing, but I would say in the last 5 years, it's really kind of driven upwards.
So you're a limit pusher.
I feel like I am, man. I always tell people to time your workouts. And I used to work out with a couple guys in Vegas. And I was like, what was your time, man? What was your time? He goes, well, I didn't start my clock. Well, why not, man? Like, you don't have any competitiveness in you? Like, come on, dude.
You're never going to push that way.
Yeah, I automatically beat you because my time was obviously better than yours because you didn't even have a time. So.
You sound like a Sean answer.
Whoa,
man,
what are you talking about?
Every time I run past his house, he's like, you're not running fast enough.
You're not. You're
run
walking.
Faster. Shut up. So, no, that's awesome. So what have you done? Any like major competitions or anything like that?
I went into, going to do a triathlon and then just never got a decent bike. So I try to do a triathlon with just like a regular, almost like a Walmart mountain bike, and it didn't work out, man. Like, it sucked. So it was pretty funny. But I still did pretty well. And then I did CrossFit for a while. I started CrossFit in Albuquerque when I was stationed there. And then, obviously, when I moved up to Spokane, it's huge up there. So there's gyms on pretty much every corner. There's 5 or 6 gyms within Spokane city limits. And then,
like, right next to Starbucks? Like, there's a Starbucks
pretty much,
on every
man,
corner,
yeah.
Right?
Starbucks. They're honestly between Division Street in Spokane, all the way up to the farthest, the most northern CrossFit gym. You pass 3, it's only like 3 miles, and you pass 3 Starbucks. So, yeah, pretty much Starbucks, CrossFit, Starbucks, CrossFit.
Yeah. So have you done any of those? Have you done any of those CrossFit competitions?
Yeah, so I got into a few local ones, and not the big ones like Wadapalooza or anything like that, but a few local ones in Spokane, and then I did one in Vegas 2 years ago, and then I got into Spartan Races in 2018. I've been Spartan Racing since like 2014 or 15, but like heavily got into them because the Air Force started paying for me to go to them a couple of years ago. So it kind of just motivated
talk about luck of the draw. It's all about knowing people.
Yeah, right? It's all about who you know. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know.
Right.
So I was able to race in a few Spartan Races, and that just kind of, I mean, everything from making my fitness better to finding my wife and everything in between, man, it kind of just worked out. So
I bet between you and your wife, I'm pretty sure she could smoke you on the Spartan course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's sitting here next to me now, and I'm sure she wants to pipe up and talk crap. But
so did you find her on the course?
How did y'all meet? I did. Yeah.
I did. So it's kind of a crazy story. So I was doing this whole Spartan thing. You know, we were going back and forth. I was leaving Vegas and just kind of traveling all over the place. And then I saw this chick in Killington, Vermont.
What year? And what year was like, this?
2018.
Okay.
Saw the back of her. So
Killington,
she was driving
which
by.
Was, what month was that? September. It was September of 2018. So I see this girl. I'm like, she's on the podium because we had to do like the podium stuff because we were there like helping out the booth or whatever. So we had to do some podium stuff, handing out medals and whatnot. And I see this girl. I was like, dang, she's pretty good looking. So then I figured out who she was and looked her up on Instagram. And
oh, so you creeped on her?
I creeped her, man, like hardcore doctor. Hardcore. So
that also sounds like
worse,
Sean.
Though. It gets worse, man. Like I'm gonna throw myself under the bus. I'm definitely gonna throw myself under the bus. It's like kind of the tail end of the story. But I stalked her and then but I never said anything to her. So in
that's
about
what stalking you have no game, bro. You have no game.
I didn't really say anything. But then so like one day she started following me and I was like, whoa, cool, like this chick that I kinda have the hospital for following me, that's crazy. And then she commented on one of my stories, and then we just started, like, talking back and forth. And then it was May of 2019. We were in Big Bear, and that's when I first actually, like, physically met her. So we kicked it off last year in Big Bear and then kind of just hit it off. And then she went her way. She was in Northern California. I was in Vegas. So she went her way. I went back to Vegas, and then I hit her up. But she wouldn't give me her phone number, man. And I was like, oh, this girl is trying to play hard to get. So
I
just
wouldn't
hit her
give
up
it to a creep either.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to you.
I know, right? So I'm like, oh, what the heck? So I just hit her up on Instagram. And this was like Instagram messaging back and forth, sliding into her DMs.
Slid into
and
then, DMs.
Yeah.
Those DMs.
I did it. And then she just hit me up. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm coming to see you. Like, screw it. I got all these airline tickets, whatever points I need to redeem. Like, I'm going to come see you.
Where did she?
Like,
I missed
what?
It. Where did she live? I missed
California.
California.
She lived in Northern California.
Okay,
right outside of Sacramento.
Okay.
So she's like, "Excuse me, what?" Apparently, she was running. She was doing like a 5 mile run on the treadmill. She just had to get off of it and stop. And be like, "Excuse me, what?" And like, it's like, "You're not coming here. You can't come here. Like that doesn't work like that." Well, long story short, I talked her into it. Came up there, and she made me sleep in her roommate's bed. And we hung out, and then there's a race that weekend in Monterey. So she's like, well, screw it, you're here. You want to come to Monterey with me? Like, we'll drive down to Monterey, we'll hang out for the weekend, and dude, the rest is history, man.
That's it.
I don't think we spent any other weekend apart besides like when she had to go for work and during some exercises at Nellis there. But other than that, man, like, yeah.
The one time a stalker works out.
I know.
Yeah,
that's like the stalker story of the year.
I was about to say, you know, you sound like the permanent guest of her house.
Yeah, well, now we have an awesome house together, so we're guesting our own house, I guess. Now, but going back,
you sound so cute, Matt. You're so cute.
He's trying to be super political because she's sitting right next to him.
Just today, so we hit that workout this morning, and now it's kind of like my warm up, right? That was
oh, please, God, stop it!
But the workout you posted.
Yeah.
So that
tell everybody what the workout was.
So the workout was, let me see if I can just remember it. So it was a three-part workout. Three-part workout. So it was a 500-meter row and then 50 double-unders.
Three times.
Three rounds.
Three times. And then immediately into five rounds of 10 push press, 10 dumbbell
alternating lunge,
and then 10 deadlifts. And the weight proposed for that was 95 for the push press and then 135 for the deadlift. And then once you got done with five rounds of that, you jump right back into the three rounds of rowing and double unders. So I felt in the first, you know what, every time I write these workouts, I look at them on paper and I'm like, oh, it's going to be easy. And then I'm 20 minutes deep into these workouts and I'm dying. I'm just straight
it
on
was
the
horrible.
Floor, like sweating and terrible.
How long did it take you to do it?
23:25, I think my time was.
That's good.
25,
I think Jeremy.
Like that.
That's fitness right there.
If Jeremy hadn't, if Kirk and I weren't working out with him, I think Jeremy probably could have got it under the 30 minutes.
I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you hustled,
yeah,
man.
So,
yeah, saying a lot.
I put it 30 minutes. So I did it, and I think it was 25 something, like 25 and a half or whatever. I wanted people to like hustle on it because that was, I felt like that was a decent time, and I want people to push themselves. So I put a 30 minute cap on it, and wherever you're at in 30 minutes is what you have.
Oh, don't worry, we'll post our workout as
no,
well.
No, I sent him a photo. I sent him the timeline, the yeah. laps.
We were barely done with the first three rounds. In 30 minutes.
Hey, but
no,
you know
just,
what?
For, just no, because
first,
it was
no, the first, the first, we were three, to share the, first equipment. The first three rounds, I think we got done in like 14 minutes.
No, I think it was
we
no,
were
it was,
closer
it,
to 20 minutes.
Well, we also I didn't stop the clock in changing out the equipment. So that's it took for three of us, not bad, honestly, for yeah. three of us waiting with changing out the equipment, it was an hour.
Yeah.
So that I mean, three guys. Yeah, that would work out.
You're
I mean,
playing follow.
I mean, does it help
way,
it
man,
felt
like
it was 4 hours? You know, just saying.
So that was your
yeah. So I told Sean. I texted Sean after he told me. He goes, "I hate you," and I was like, "What? What could he hate me for?" And then I was like, "Oh yeah," he told me he's all in on the workout.
It was horrible.
So then there was a workout. But then I texted him. I said, "Hey man, you got to do the one that I posted on. I think it was the 15th, a couple days ago. That one was terrible. It was. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. That one was."
Okay, you just called today's workout a warm up. I think we're
that, well, it did, man. Like I really enjoyed the row because I felt like the row kind of got my blood flowing, like got my energy up, and I was like, all right, cool, I can do this. And then after I jumped on the rower again the second time for that second 500, I was like, this is terrible. This is a bad idea.
Kirk, I think you probably felt bad for saying this. I thought the second round of the row and the double unders felt like a break, but the first time I got on that rower, my legs were just trashed. They were just on fire.
Halfway through the first 500 meters after the workout at the end, I was like, "Oh, I'm good, yeah. I'm good." And then I hit halfway through, it was like, "Brick
yeah.
wall."
In my second,
yeah, I think I was shooting for like a 140 to 145 pace on the rower, and then I think by the end of it, I was at like a 202 or 203. Like I was into the twos, and yeah, I'm usually never into the twos. I try to stay under 2 minutes.
Well, so I can't say much. I mean, I was gonna say my rows time. I was between 140, 145 for all six rounds, but we also took a lot longer. So I can't really say that I was with you on that one, because if we had closed it down, I probably would have been in the twos as well. But my problem is like I'm barely working up to my double unders. Sean's phenomenal comparative to
what,
me.
What, my double unders?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last, before the end, I could not get a rhythm for nothing.
Right, but your last round was like my every round.
It was horrible. I was so mad.
I get like a good solid seven, and I'm like, okay, got to start over.
Well, I can tell you it was a heck of a workout. Yeah, I got good. The blood flowing, and other than a little bit of soreness.
Definitely wasn't our warm-up. That was our workout.
It was a workout.
Yeah,
Matt, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead. No, go. You're good. Go ahead.
Oh, so yeah. I did that workout and I was like, okay, cool. I'm like good for the day, you know, whatever. And then Emily, she's like, hey, let's go run the hills. Let's go run these trails. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll run with you. And she's like, yeah, I just got to do like a 2 mile time trial. And I was like, all right. And then she didn't tell me about the mile warm up and the mile cool down. So that's 4 miles you're looking at right there. So we ended up running through the hills. And these hills are like comparable to mountains. So we ended up doing this mountain run for like 4 miles this afternoon.
Again,
so,
that sounds like Sean.
Oh,
Sean will say we're going out to do 3 miles, and next thing I know, it's an hour later, and we're at 5 miles. So
yeah, I've got to run 100 miles this month.
I know, but don't lie to me up front.
Just don't lie to me.
Why would I tell you the truth, Kirk? You're not going to go. I got to lie to you.
I do go, don't
yeah,
I?
You do go.
Just don't lie to me.
Yeah. I'm running, Sandra and I, Matt, are running 100 miles this month. I'm at 56. She's at 60, 61. She's smoking me. And after,
that's good, man.
Yeah, it's horrible, though. Yesterday I ran, I think I only did 4 miles, but it felt like I was dragging a sled filled with bricks. It was horrible. My legs are heavy. My mind was, like, foggy. I couldn't get motivated. And I probably walked a few times. It's just like, all right, just get through it. But these last 2 weeks are going to be brutal.
You know, after my foot surgery last October, man, I can only do, like, 3 miles at a time. I get too sore. My foot starts cramping up, but... So it's hard for me to rack up the miles like that, but I'm still fast, man. I can still carry like a 6:30 5K pace. But
I can't.
Yeah, I was smoking, man, but I can't do anything more than 3 miles. Sucks.
You probably got
more miles than I do this month for sure. I'll look when I get off of here, but you probably got more miles than
I do. But you're probably a lot faster. I'm just slow. It doesn't matter how hard I train. I feel like I can't get.
Yeah.
My pace is just...
At our age, man, it's not about really the time. It's about the miles under your belt, dude. It's that training time. It doesn't really matter about
how much time you're moving. How much time
you're
moving, not how quickly.
It's about that you're moving, period. Like, there's people here that I'm just like, dude, go out and run. Like, walk.
I will say, get off the couch. I will say in this whole quarantine thing, I've seen a lot more people outside walking and doing stuff than before.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome to see.
Yeah, before I left Vegas, we went out to Red Rock. You guys ever been out to Red Rock Canyon out there?
I haven't, but my wife has.
John, you have, haven't you?
Where is it at?
It's on the kind of the east side of town or the west side of town.
No,
so I've been way out there. I've been to Red Rock Harley.
Yeah, same thing. That's where. Yeah, I've spent lots of money there.
I got a Red Rock in my backyard. Yep.
But I got so out there, dude. It was packed. Just insane how many cars were alongside the road because they shut down the park and people for miles. I mean, 5, 6, maybe even 7 miles, there's cars and people out there biking and hiking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's awesome.
I've never seen that before.
That's really cool.
You think you're going to miss Las Vegas?
You know, I thought I would, but honestly, man, not really. I'll miss the entertainment and stuff, but obviously, as we left there, it all got shut down. So we kind of had a world of Vegas without entertainment, and it was fine. And I think we got used to other stuff other than, like, trying to keep entertained outside of the house. Mm-hmm. And I don't think so, man. And this place we've got a really awesome house. The cost of living out here is cheap. It's beautiful out here. There's so much stuff to do right outside the house. Like, I don't think so, man.
What's the closest big city you're near there?
Charleston. So we're 30 minutes from Charleston, West Virginia, which isn't that big at all. I think it's got like 60,000 people. And then we're 2 hours from Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio. So exciting.
It's like,
yeah.
The closest thing we're outside of our state is like 6 hours from us. We're still not out of Texas.
Nope. Not even close. Hey, before we wrap this up, Matt, tell us something random about you. We got to wrap it up.
Something random about me. You guys are going to laugh, but I was a AAA mascot for 2 years in Albuquerque.
Yes.
That's awesome.
What was the mascot?
Orbit. Albuquerque Isotopes.
What is Orbit?
What's that?
Orbit was this alien creature that had this big fat ring around his belly. He's derived off of the Philadelphia, the Phillies mascot.
Yeah, I've seen the Philly one. That's funny.
Yep, he's just like the Philly one. Yep, but Albuquerque Isotopes, man.
Did you have a good dance for it?
I did, man. It was back when The Weeknd came out with that one song. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but that one song that were popular from The Weeknd. They came out, and so that was like kind of our dance. I can't dance worth to save my life, but in a costume when nobody can see my face, dude, I was all about acting crazy.
What year was that?
It was 2000. 7 to 2010.
Oh, my
please tell me you have photos. Do you have photos in your...
I got a ton of photos.
Yeah. I want you to send me one.
Send us one. We got to put it on the podcast.
Please, we'll post it.
If you have a video of your dancing, that'd be even better.
All right. Let's see what I can find with videos. I know I got pictures.
Hilarious.
Awesome, Matt. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for letting me bug you guys.
Yeah. All right, bro. Keep in touch. We'll see you.
Yep. See ya.
Right, bye. I love that dude.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool stories, man.
Matt, so I met Matt, I guess it was in 2018, and at a Spartan race, and he's made a ton of life changes and got married. And
at least he didn't marry you.
I know it happens. I mean, they try to marry me.
He's lucky Sean didn't like go all like stalkerish on him.
So,
hey, apparently being a stalker works sometimes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Aren't we all kind of stalkers though when you first start dating?
I guess that depends because back in the day,
we didn't have social media.
Stalking wasn't as readily available as it is now.
Like I would.
But it still existed. I mean, people just had to make more of an effort.
Yeah, you actually had to go like outside their house.
I think there were still more, just as many stalkers as there are now. It's just easier to do it.
Yeah,
easier now. I think there's more stalking now. In the verbiage of stalking that we're using, I think there's more stalking now than there ever was.
Yeah, because of the convenience.
Yeah, because of the convenience.
There's some crazies.
Absolutely.
So, Sean, you mentioned earlier about our first job. You had some question that went along with it. What was it?
No, we were at the grocery store today, and it brought back memories. It was when you asked Abigail, hey, why don't you bag the groceries? And I remember one of my very first jobs was in the grocery store. And then I was just looking up and down the aisle and just looking at all the different teenagers that were there working. And
that's awkward.
What, that I was looking at the aisle? Or that
you were looking at the teenagers up and down the aisle.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, just saying.
Leave it to Jeremy to make it awkward and
weird.
Where's
the crickets? Do we have crickets?
Not yet. Anyway, it took me back to when I was in high school about one of my first jobs and how it relates to, you know, what I learned from that job. So I think it's interesting in what we take, even though we may not recognize it instantly. You know, Kirk, what was your very first job, and what do you think you took away from it?
Okay. Outside of some babysitting gigs and lawn mowing, my first real job was at Jitney Jungle Grocery Store. Jitney Jungle. They bought out Kroger in our area. And
hold on, yeah. Kroger got bought out?
Well, in our that area, store. Jitney Jungle bought those stores. Mm. We didn't have any Krogers within a couple of hours of our house at the time. Mm. So somebody that we went to church with, I think it was her boyfriend or fiance at the time. They may have been married. But anyway, I went and applied for the job. Didn't hear anything back. And I went back again and asked him, hey, I applied. How's it going? I'll get back to you. After the fourth time, they finally hired me. And he came back to me. He said, the main reason we hired you was because of your persistence. You showed that you really wanted the job. So that was probably the biggest lesson for me out of that was, if you want something, you have to go after it.
So it wasn't from the job. It was actually the best thing he took away from it was how
applying
he got
for
that
the job.
What was the experience of
how
applying?
He got the job.
Yeah. So what did you learn from doing the job, you think? Well, so what did you do?
So
though?
I was a stalker.
Imagine
not
that.
A stalker, a stalker. I worked at
sounds
I stocked
the
shelves.
Sounds the same to me.
Yeah,
stocked the shelves. Occasionally got pulled into like produce to clean up the vegetables before we put them out. Sliced my finger real bad one time working the job, trying to top onions, like pop the little top. Yeah, so I learned a very important lesson of how to be careful with knives. But outside of that, I mean, it was a good job. Taught me work ethic. I was working nights mostly. And just, it was a good time. Wish I could go back to it occasionally.
To the grocery store?
To doing that type of job, man. Mm-hmm. No stress. I'm just going to throw stuff up on the shelves. Although I still walk through a grocery store and I see a can turn the wrong way and I'm like, oh, got to turn it face out. Got to turn it face out.
Mm. I had the same feeling about my first job.
What was your first job?
My first job, I was a gymnastics instructor.
That's so awesome.
I wish y'all could see his face.
Oh, my gosh. He's got the goofiest, some people can.
He's got the goofiest grin right now.
Can you do a cartwheel for us, Jeremy?
Yeah, I can. I can do a really good cartwheel, actually.
We're on video. Will you do it? Please.
I mean,
please.
They're literally only going to see like my top half. They're going to see my top half.
Yes.
Then my bottom half. And
can
then
you do
half.
A backflip?
Yeah.
A round off?
Yeah.
Can you do the shirt challenge?
Can you do an aerial?
No, I can't. I can't do the shirt challenge.
Can you do an aerial?
No, I've never tried.
You know what an aerial is?
Yes.
Okay.
I was an instructor.
Sorry. I can never do it.
So I brought up the shirt challenge. Have you seen that, Sean? Where you have to put a shirt on in a handstand?
I've never seen that.
It's a new thing going on right now. You can put your feet against a wall or whatever, but you have to put the shirt on while you're in a handstand.
Hmm.
It is
both arms and your head.
Yes.
Can you lean? But you can lean.
I can't
lean.
Even do a handstand. So let's just
you can prop on a wall.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's more impressive if you don't.
We'll watch a video later.
So anyway, so my first job, I was a gymnastics trainer. Mainly was little kids, and I got that job because at that time I was a cheerleader in high school.
Of course you were.
I absolutely was. It was a great time. I had a bunch of friends, had fun. I did that. I was also on the basketball team. I did a lot of stuff in high school, but.
So you and Matt are kind of, y'all have something in common. I mean, he was a mascot, you're a cheerleader. Yeah,
absolutely.
You
know.
He got excited.
Yeah.
But so the instructor, I guess she had like kids that came to the school and then saw a cheerleading. And so she asked if any of us would be interested in doing that because we were obviously doing certain things. So asked if we'd be interested in coaching. And I told her yes. So we came down, went through a trying to think of the word.
Training.
Thank you. I'm dumb. I went through training. We went through that. I actually got certified to be a coach. Had a lot of fun. Did the boys stuff, and then went from real little kids, and then went to advanced tumbling, which was fun. I ended up coaching for five years. I had a blast doing it, and I think one of the things I took away from it was the progression in the job. Like basically starting from the bottom, not knowing anything about it, getting trained up, and then not only getting trained to be a better coach, but learning better techniques, and then being able to advance to show that I can do more, and I got to teach more and teach more higher skilled things, which
techniques.
Was awesome. Techniques. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm good for something.
So what do you think that from that experience that has made you good at what you're doing now? What can you think about then on what you learned?
That's what I was saying. It's like, so what I took away from it was the training of the job to be able to do the job better and more of the job. And that's what I took away from that, and I've put into everything else. So when I started, I was like the bottom level coach, like the itty bitty kids, basics. And then when I stopped coaching, I was the most advanced coach. I taught the most advanced tumbling, but I could also teach the little kids, so I could do it all. So in all the jobs I've gone to now, what I try to do is I do my best to learn as much as I can so I can be the best at that job. I try to put that into every aspect of the job I do, whatever job that is.
Yeah, so what I'm getting, and I'll summarize a little bit, is you're committed to the bigger picture, to the process of being the best that you can be in that job. It's not necessarily, there's a lot of workers there that they go in, they clock out, and they leave, right? There's no, right. They invest the minimum amount in order to get through the day to get that paycheck.
Yep. Absolutely.
What I'm hearing is that what you learned early in your first job as a coach, gymnastics coach, is about being committed to the bigger picture and committed to self-development and being able to see all areas of whatever that job entails, not just
the subject matter expert.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's what I took away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. What about you, Sean?
I had a lot of job. My very, very first job, ironically, was at Kroger.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Kroger 536 in Fort Worth, Texas, off of Basswood and North Beach Street.
Okay.
North Beach Street.
Yep. My mom bought me a Jeep. And she said, go get a job. Otherwise, the Jeep's going to stay parked. So that's where I went. And I think I first started off as a bagger. And it became like a, I remember it was, I wanted to be the fastest bagger than any of them.
Yep.
And I don't know what I'm going
to
say here. I'm
proud to say that it didn't happen.
You bagged my groceries today, so.
I did.
Thank you.
But did he do it fast? Really, really fast?
No,
he was standing on the wall for a while and then was like, oh, let me help out.
No, I bagged my groceries, and then when it was his, I walked away. because I bought half his groceries.
He was mad because he didn't notice that he was paying for my groceries.
I didn't. The cash register girl was like,
so what did you take away from that first job that you have, that you use today?
Man, that's a good question. Because I don't know if it was just one job that really taught me one specific thing.
Wait, I'm not saying you have to do that, but what did you take away from that job that you still that still has it in your back of your mind today?
So what's very important to me is accountability. And I remember I would always show up. I remember covering shifts for people because they said they would be there and they weren't there. So now what I try to do is I try to almost over-communicate, but if I say I'm going to do something, I try my damnedest to do it. And at work, if I'm dealing with customers or if I'm dealing with partners in certain projects, if I can't deliver what I said I was going to deliver, I pick up the freaking phone and I call them and I let them hear my voice and I say, hey, this is what happened. And I take instant accountability for not being able to deliver. So I think what I took from that experience is follow through. And sometimes following through isn't getting to the end of the road. Following through is communicating and being present, right? You get those phone calls of people saying, hey, I'm sorry. Like Kirk and I had to go to Verizon a few days ago, and there was a very upset customer. And the gentleman, the manager of the store, who I thought was being pretty honest and transparent, but the customer, she was like, your apology doesn't help me. I don't accept your... I mean, she just kept going.
She was getting emotional. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was super uncomfortable, but there was nothing that he could have said that she would have been... Like, she was there upset. She wanted to go and complain. She was upset going there.
That was a Karen. She was walking in to yell at the manager.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. She
wasn't there to get her problem fixed.
Right.
She just wanted to yell at somebody.
Right. And the manager, I thought, was super professional. He handled her unpleasant behavior as professional as he could. And then not only that, then he turned around and he asked what I needed and he fixed the problem that I needed without any attitude, without anything.
He didn't seem frustrated afterwards. I was expecting him to go, just go away.
Yep.
I'm done.
Yep. He was perfect. So I think
shout out Verizon manager.
Yeah, Verizon, he did a great job that day. Great job.
The manager did
at the store. So I think, long story short, overall, I think accountability is huge. If you can't depend on somebody to do a certain job or to follow through, then
I would like to point out, follow through, John. We were supposed to play video games last night, and you wussied out on me.
And you did not
follow
through.
You're like, I'm done. I'm staying.
I think Kirk's being a little baby.
I feel like there's crying on both sides of this table.
No, my face is nice and dry. I should put oil on it.
I don't know, but or lotion. Like, I could tell by your texts you were cranky. I was like, yeah, you're hangry.
I was tired.
Something.
Oh, cranky pants doesn't want to play video games with me. You're not invited to my birthday party. There.
That's the first time I played video games, other than at your house the other night, Sean. It's the first time I played video games in like 10 years. It's crazy.
And now you're addicted.
Well.
The first time I played video games in 10 years, and you stood me up.
I might have stayed up till about 1:30 this morning playing. But.
I think, and that's why I didn't want to go, because I knew I was going to be up, and I was already tired, and I was cranky.
Well, then why didn't you take accountability and tell him, hey, I'm not coming because I'm tired?
He
said, come up here, and I said, no, we've already got everything set up. Come on down. And then he was like, no, maybe tomorrow.
Well, you know why? Because you're like, you're going to have to bring that your own equipment. I'm like, I got to pack everything up. I got to put it in the car.
If we were going to play that one game.
That's the game we were going to play.
I know. It's all right. It's all good. I forgive you, Sean.
And it was like 8, and I wasn't even done with cooking my dinner.
He says he forgives you, but I don't think he does.
I don't care.
I think his heart's broken.
That's why he brought me down for that workout this morning to kill me.
Well, I'm the one who got busted up. My back is killing me.
Yeah. He was walking like a 90-year-old man at the grocery store earlier.
It hurt so bad.
It took us like 15 minutes to get across the parking
lot.
My
back is still throbbing right now. I think throbbing.
I'm sorry. What are you doing?
What? That's the sound of my back throbbing.
That's the sound of your back. That's kind of like,
what's he doing?
There's the wink.
Hey, YouTube.
No, that is not comfortable, guys, when you listen to that.
Yeah, but neither is this.
That's like a heartbeat.
It was, yeah, I said throbbing. I was giving an example.
Yeah, but me and Kirk didn't know what you were doing.
Oh, I love you guys.
I wish your first
week.
I wish your yeah, it has been a.
It's been a week. That's for sure.
So it is the 18th of April. Can you believe we've been doing this whole quarantine thing for like a month?
Yep.
Over a month.
A month this week was when I started.
Well, I mean, like I said, quarantine for y'all is way different than quarantine for me.
Yeah, you've been going to work every day.
I still go to work. It literally has not changed my work schedule one bit. Not one thing in my work has changed. And that's what Oilfield does for you.
So interesting. Do you feel like when you go out and about and you're driving around, do you feel like there's something different going on? Can you notice? Or is your life, all it is just hearsay?
Well, no, because so from where I go and where I drive, because I go to Carson City, Texas, and Kenny and Carson City are Oilfield towns. And they basically, everything still looks the same. Because it's all oil field traffic. It's very, not a lot of public traffic anyway. So everything looks the same. The only things that are really different is when you actually go to like the offices. Those are the ghost towns now. That's the only difference I see. But like on the road, because that's where I spend most of my time is on the road driving from location to location. That all looks about the same. So like all of us who work out in the field, that's about the same. But if you have to go into the office, offices are ghost towns. Those people are nowhere to be found. And like rightly so, they're not supposed to be. They all remote in and do their stuff from home. That's about the only difference I see.
I think the difference that we see is having to stand in line to go into a gas station or to go in a grocery store or whatever it might be, having to stand in line and then everybody wearing masks. But outside of that, seems like mostly the same traffic out there. Maybe a little bit lighter in the afternoons because no school traffic, but when I've had to go places, it didn't look a lot different to me.
That's funny because my 5:30 in the morning traffic looks exactly the same.
I believe it.
Still packed.
No, it's not packed, but it's about the same as it always has been. It's the same oil field traffic that it is like 5:30 in the morning. Like it to me doesn't seem any different. If I was in the same driving aspect of, like, when school's going in or this, that, I'll probably see a difference, but that's not when I'm on the road, so I don't see the difference.
I will say, and Kirk and I were talking about this earlier, I love my job. I have probably one of the best jobs that I've ever had. However, with that comes a lot of sacrifices, and I give up a lot of things, but I travel a lot. It has been nice to be home and slow down. Like, that's been nice, to slow down a little bit and not always. I haven't been stressed really at all, which is rare. I get to spend more time hanging out with the wife, and that's been great. And apparently her favorite color now is purple. It's awesome.
That was random.
Yeah, I know. But,
well, he was just saying now he knows what her favorite color is.
That was a joke. I've always known.
He got it.
Yeah.
But anyway, It has been great to slow down a little bit and just spend more time at home and just kind of honestly test me a little bit to find more ways to do my job from a different perspective. You know, how do I reach my intended audience in this format, which has been good. It challenges everybody, I think. So,
agreed.
Yeah, with me too. You know, spending time with the family has been awesome. And
they don't say that, but
They probably don't, but...
Dude, you're at my house half your time anyway.
Well, that's true.
That's because they tell them I eat that we're kind of tired.
Get out of the house. Mm-hmm. See ya.
I'm going to start muting you, Jeremy. Can't follow simple rules.
It has been nice trying to get work done. I can get most of my work done from home. A little slow sometimes because of the networks and stuff, but overall, it's been nice. It's going to be hard to get back into a routine of going back to the office.
Once everything starts opening up again.
Yep. But I also look forward to it to a certain extent. So
I look forward to going to another NASCAR race.
I look forward to eating more of this beef jerky.
I look forward to Sean taking me to a NASCAR race. You don't remember? You promised me.
You
that.
Right promised
before,
me.
Right
that was before the COVID-19. Things change.
Oh, come on, man. I want to go see some NASCAR.
NASCAR. NASCAR.
Hey, you know what my favorite part about NASCAR is?
The vroom vroom?
Nope. Jeremy?
I don't know.
The left turns.
Thank goodness, because those right turns are a doozy.
Depends on what track you go to.
Awesome.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
Yeah, we've had a great night tonight, and we appreciate it if you joined in on this. If you got to watch our live feed on Facebook for a little bit while we got our first ever fan mail.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
First ever fan mail. If you are this far in the show, go to Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, The Rando Podcast. Check us out. And I want to thank Matt Stevens, good friend of mine. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks to Tyler for the beef Tyler. Jerky and
shout
pickles.
That was delicious. Tyler's beef jerky, Tyler's pickles.
Yeah. And Matt, I need you to do 1,000 burpees for time just because my back hurts.
Peace. Later.